Good morning, Spring House. It's a chilly day, just a little bit, but it's also Tennessee, so that shouldn't surprise you. But it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad you're here today? I sure am glad you're here as well. If you're joining us on live stream, thank you for joining us too. I got one announcement for us today before we get kicking and rolling. Next Sunday, we are going to have a newcomers luncheon here in the foyer, or in the fellowship hall. Is it in the fellowship hall? Fellowship hall. We would like to invite you to come if you are one of the newer families to the church. Our pastoral team will be there. We'd like to meet you. Want to tell you a little bit about our different ministries here at the church and introduce ourselves and just get to know you a little bit. And also just explain to you how our communication processes work and answer any questions you might have about the church. Now, if you're somebody and you've brought a new person and maybe you've been coming with them or whatnot, you can sign up as well and come with them. So I don't have to come alone. That's totally fine. But we do want you to register so I don't have to share my sandwich with you, okay? So if you'll register on the church app, the way you do that out in the foyer, there are placards with a QR code. You can register there, sign up for the church center and sign up through that and register. But that will be next week immediately following this gathering, okay? So I want you to be a part of that. All right. We're actually now officially starting the third part of a three-part series for the year. We have unofficially started it for the last 2 weeks. We're officially starting it now. But we're going to go into the section that talks about his church. And I'm very excited about what the rest of this year holds, mainly because he's in control of it. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to our hearts and speak to our lives. And so and anytime the Holy Spirit gets involved, we ought to be excited about what he's doing. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read from the book of Colossians this morning. And I would like you to read this like you're yelling for your favorite sports team this morning, okay? All right, here we go. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Father, I thank you for such loud readers this morning. I thank you for the gift of your salvation, God, the gift of your son. I pray, Lord, that you would help your word this morning just transform our hearts, God. I pray for any of my nonsense to fall to the ground, but anything, Lord, that you have for us to stick and remain and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we started this year out talking about his word, Now, I pray and hope, it would be my hope, that you are in the word of God every single day, that you have an active relationship with the word of God. Is anybody still following the 5x5x5 Bible reading plan? Raise your hand. Okay, good, across the church. Now, some of you may say, you know, I'm not following that plan, but I'm following my own plan. Good, I'm glad that you are reading the word daily. Some of you may say, well, I missed it, and I'm not reading, and I guess I need to wait till 2025. No, you can start today. You haven't been promised 2025, so start now, start today. We unearthed and unpackaged about Jesus being the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. We find the truth in His Word, and so an active relationship with the Word is essential to the believer's walk. And so I pray that you have an active relationship with the Word of God. After we talked about His Word, we talked about His life. And who are we talking about when we say His? We're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about a random guy. We're talking about Jesus. So Jesus' Word and Jesus' life, and we examined how Jesus treated people. We examined how Jesus listened and obeyed His Father. We looked at Jesus' emotional state whenever he was travailing in the garden before having to go to the cross. We looked at Jesus die on the cross, and we celebrated a resurrected Savior, and we celebrate that same resurrected Savior today. He is sitting at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have access to this God. And so now we're going to talk about Jesus's church, the church of Jesus Christ. And He has a lot to say about his church. And one of the first things that we need to understand about His church is that when we talk about His church, we're not talking about this facility, this building, this structure. You're the church. You are the church. The church is not the building. It's the people. So when I went to the Lord and I was like, okay, Lord, we're going to be doing this series. You told me to do this series and we're here on this part about your church, God. Where do you want me to start? Where do you want us to begin? Because there's a lot we could say about His church. It could start with the history of the church. We could talk about His encounter with Peter and how He said He was going to build His church upon this rock. We could talk a lot about how church functions. We talk about Ephesians 4. There's a lot we can talk about. There's a lot we're going to talk about. Do you know where you start is real important? Where you begin is really important. Anybody here like to cook? Yeah, I'm not very good at it, but I like to cook. And I'll tell you what, when I cook macaroni and cheese, I don't put non-boiled noodles on the plate and then put the cheese in the pan. And then, you know, there's an order to cooking a dish and making it right? You start somewhere. Anybody like building puzzles? Any puzzle builders here? Okay, when you build a puzzle, you know, I personally like to start with those outer pieces, you know, the pieces that kind of hug the edges because they're easy for me to find, right? And so you start there and you build upon where you started. You know, it's hard for me to start with that 1,000-piece puzzle with the puzzle piece that's completely one color, one solid color. It goes in the middle somewhere. I need to start somewhere where it makes sense. And so where I start is important. One of the things that I have done in the past that I really, really bothers me is, have you ever been driving somewhere and you're at your starting point, but you've got maybe a lot on your mind or whatever, and you end up driving in the wrong direction? I used to work at Hickory Hollow Mall when it was a mall at Chick-fil-A, and then I worked for 4 years at Murfreesboro's Chick-fil-A, and for a good 6 months, when I would get on Sam Ridley and go to work, I would go toward Nashville, as opposed to getting off the interstate and going toward Murfreesboro, because I was in the habit of going toward Nashville, right? Okay. I hated that because I had to go all the way down to Walden Road, get off the interstate, and turn around. You know that whenever you go the wrong direction, what's interesting about that is when you go the wrong direction and you turn around, you got to go back the direction from which you came, right? All of that stuff. I get to see the same trees and the same things I pass. I get to see them again. And sometimes that's what the Lord does with us. When we start going down the wrong direction, when we turn around, He'll have us kind of walk through that stuff going back because He wants to train us and teach us some things in that. But the starting point is important. Had I started getting on the interstate at the right place, I would get to my destination a lot quicker, right? And so where do we start? When we're talking about His church, I said, Lord, where should Springhouse Church, we're talking about this, where should we start? And He gave me something, and I believe this is where we need to start this series for the rest of this year. We need to know it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me, and it's not about you. This is my daughter, Nora. Nora is my fourth daughter, and she We have four daughters, and when we have birthday parties in our house, we do a birthday dinner. And at the birthday dinner, the kids all bring a small gift for the birthday girl at the time. And then we speak blessings over our children when it's their birthday. And so we have a whole routine. And every single birthday that is not Nora's birthday, Nora says, "Well, Daddy, I wish I had a cake. Daddy, I sure do wish I had a present today. Daddy, I sure do wish that you would speak nice words over me today," right? It's because Nora has made that day about her. And children, immature children especially, tend to make things about themselves. Immature Christians make the church about themselves. Immature Christians will jump from church to church to church to church until they find something that suits them, until it doesn't suit them anymore, and then they will jump some more. Immature Christians, immature believers, will not lean in to anything more or less than themselves. In church, the Lord has called us to move and graduate from drinkers of milk to eaters of meat. And so as mature believers, there's an understanding that it is countercultural, but the church is not about us. It's not about us. And so we have to start here in order for us to build the foundation, because if I put any ingredient of myself in the foundation of the church, then that lessens the focus on Christ. And I do not want to lessen the focus of Christ. I don't want to lessen the focus of Christ. His church and the observations that we make about his church around the world, it is just staggering how many places we see that program is elevated above presence. Anytime program is elevated above presence, God doesn't want anything to do with it. He won't have anything to do with it. But when you elevate his presence above all else, he will infiltrate all things, all lives, and you will start to see God move in supernatural, extraordinary ways. The world centers on self. The church centers on Christ. The world centers on itself. The church centers on Christ. You know, one of the things, and I've said this before, and I hope that I'm able to give this back to whomever's next in even a more abundant form, though I don't know how much more I could do than he has done. But one of the greatest gifts Pastor Ronnie has given me in the transition of me being lead pastor here is the fact that he shows up and he supports me. He's there. I see him. He is very present, and I appreciate his presence and his support. And we were at lunch this past week, and I don't think he minds me sharing this. We were at lunch this past week, and he said, "I'm in, Spring House. There'd virtually be two reasons why you probably wouldn't see me there anymore. And the first reason would be if the church became about money. And the second reason is if the church would elevate the pastor above Christ." And thankfully, we are close to neither extreme. But when I drove away from that lunch, I thought, I wouldn't want to pastor that church. I would not want to pastor a church that was catering to money or catering to elevating the pastor. The church is about elevating Christ Jesus. The church is about elevating Christ Jesus. And so, when we look over at Exodus chapter 33, Moses has gone up the mountain and he's gone to get the Ten Commandments. He's gone to meet with God. And the people are down below, the Israelites, and they are worshiping Almighty God. They're worshiping Almighty God, and he has left Aaron in charge, and they are doing all of the programs. They're doing all of the things. They've got the guitar instruments, the lights, they got the music, they've got everything that would make an excellent worship service. They've got community, they've got a church, and all of a sudden, the presence of God is not enough. And so they began to collect their gold, and they fashioned out of that gold a calf. And they started to worship this idol, this calf. In Exodus 33, we read why Moses is meeting with God. So Moses comes down the mountain and he says, what is going on here? Here's the thing. They had every indication and every single indicator of being a church, but they were not worshiping the true God. And when we put our vices and we put our idols in front, we can show up to church, we can be in a building, we can have a worship set, we can have lyrics on a string, we can have great lights, we can have programming, we have ministries, we can have baptisms, we have all those things. But if God's not in the middle of it, then it means nothing. Then it means absolutely nothing. It's like wearing a shirt that says, I'm a believer and I'm a follower, but living a life that looks something completely different. The church elevates Christ. It's not about us. So the scripture we read in Colossians says this, all things, not some things, but all things have been created through him and for him. This includes his church. Now, I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again because you probably forgot. The only celebrity here is and should be Jesus Christ. The only celebrity here is and should be Jesus Christ. And that should be the same for the church globally, that Jesus Christ is the center. The sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ needs nothing added to it. The sufficiency of Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient for anyone who would believe and say, Lord, save me, save my life. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse sin. And he is the center of his church. The church doesn't elevate people. We don't elevate people. The church elevates Christ. God is not impressed with programs, with personalities, with platforms. God is seeking worshipers. He's seeking people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth. This is what John chapter 4 says. Jesus is speaking to a Samaritan woman. I want you to understand the context here. Jews were not supposed to speak to Samaritans. And he's speaking to the Samaritan woman. Guys, I tell you what, the church tends to be the place where some of the most gross division happens. But can I tell you, people divide, but the gospel unites. People divide, but the gospel unites. Jesus came so that all may be saved. Not some, not the ones that look like you or sound like you or you can get along with, but salvation is for everybody. The salvation is for everybody. This is what he says. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kinds of worshiper the Father seeks. The Father seeks. So the Father is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. Now, that word worship there in Greek is a big word that I can't pronounce, and I'm not going to try. But defined, it is likened to a dog licking a master's hand. So the inference there when it comes to worshipers is that worship, listen to this, worship doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. Worship has to do with obedience. Worship is connected, it's directly connected to obedience, and your Father in heaven is looking and seeking worshipers, those who will obey in spirit and in truth. Worship is connected to obedience. Let's see what our brother Paul wrote in Romans chapter 4. He says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, there's an urgent plea here, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So the context here is worship out of a life of obedience is offering your body and your life as a living sacrifice. In other words, I'm going to bow down to what my flesh wants and I'm going to do what the Spirit wants me to do. That's worship. Some of us have reduced worship to the 30-minute period before Kevin speaks or Justin speaks or Ronnie speaks or Barbie speaks. Worship in that context, praise and worship, is a time for us to enthrone the King on our praises. It is a time for us to utilize gifts and talents and instruments to enthrone Him. But our worship is a posture of obedience, and it is a daily choice. It's a moment by moment choice. Are you worshiping the Lord, or are you worshiping yourself? Are you worshiping the Lord, or are you worshiping yourself? A few weeks ago, I talked about one of the hardest things that we are asked to do is to just show up. God wants us to just show up. It's so easy to show up. And I had given the story about Joshua. I talked about Joshua going into the promised land, and God had said, hey, you can have all of these cities, and I'm gonna give them into your hand. And Joshua was a commander of an army. And he looked at his army, and he would have had it would have made so much sense to the people. They were there ready to fight, to go to Jericho and to bust down those walls. But God said, no, I want you to shut your mouth. And I want you to walk around the wall 7 times. I'm talking about crazy, what? And so the Lord convicted my heart a few weeks ago after I left here, because yes, half of the battle is showing up, but the other half is doing what He tells you to do. The other half is walking in obedience to what He tells you to do. You see, God could have told Joshua all day long, I want you to walk around the walls, but he could have disobeyed. Showing up was just part of the battle. Doing what he tells you to do is the other half. Are you worshiping God through your obedience to him? So how you feel plays no significant role in your decision to obey. Ergo, your feelings are irrelevant when it comes to worship. Do you know how many times I have asked my children to go clean their room and they did not feel like cleaning their room? And do you know, had they acted upon how they felt, I would have given them another feeling real fast? Your feelings are not a prerequisite to your choice to obey. They shouldn't be a prerequisite for your choice to obey. Now, I'll tell you, obedience sometimes doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. And whoever made up this idea that God never wants you to feel bad, God never wants you to feel anything bad or hurt or anything like that. God is not trying to make you hurt, but we live in a fallen world and we're contending with our broken flesh. And there are going to be times, because he sees something better on the other side, that he's going to ask you to do something that you do not want to do, that you don't feel like doing. But if you will obey, his promises are always yes and amen. And on the other side of that thing, you will see exactly why he asked you to do it. Do you trust him? Do you have the faith to believe what he says? Will you step out in obedience to him? So, church, we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention, because we can get in circles. We can get in community with people who look like everything the church is supposed to look like, but not serve and worship the God we say we believe in. We've got to pay attention to what's going on. We've got to pay attention to what's going on inside of our heart. Who are we listening to? Who are we obeying? Is what's coming at to me lining up with his truth? Because anything God asks us to do is not going to go against what he's written in his word. This is why we started with his word. His word, his life, his church. Active relationship with his word. But when we focus in on ourselves, which, man, so many times I have the propensity to do this myself, we focus in on ourselves, we find ourselves in a place where we'd rather find fault in others than forgive. We want to be catered to rather than be consecrated. We want to settle for the limited when we've got access to being liberated. We work so hard to be so big instead of humble ourselves enough to bow down. We would rather be honored than to be humbled. It's more important for us to look right than it is for us to be righteous. We look to get before we give. We want to be served rather than to serve. And we want to be happy rather than be holy. And if we choose to live lives where happiness is at the forefront, what I get is at the forefront, me being big, my platform being huge, all those things are on the forefront, Christ will not be a part of it, and it will be destroyed. It will be destroyed. This is why you want to attend a local church that's preaching the truth of God's word. Not an idea, not an opinion, not something that caters to culture, but you want to find a church, you want to be under teaching that lines up with God's word. Now, how do you know that it lines up with God's word? You got to read it for yourself. I've had so many times I've wanted to come up here as an object lesson and say, we're going to read from 3 Corinthians today, chapter 9. And I was just going to quote a bunch of stuff and make it real close to truth just to see how many amens I get. You should be reading the word to know what it says so that you can be thriving, not just to test what you've been taught, but so that you can find freedom for yourself. How many of you're just in situations and God has such answers in his word, but you're looking everywhere else except for his word for the answer that he has for you. His word brings life. His word brings life. And so, what's the culprit here? Like, you know, what causes us to have the propensity to lean into our flesh, lean into the cultural norms? How does a church who on one Sunday may be just thriving and going, but the next week, man, it just seems like, what's going on? Is God even here? What is the culprit here? And, you know, I don't really just want to say, you know, that it really could be that some of these things that are happening here, you know, is... You know, the Bible says, since then you've been raised with Christ, you know, set your hearts on things above and not below. And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And he raised, our life is now hidden in Christ. Now, when Christ is in you, your life appears, you will also appear with him in glory. It's a glorious thing. It's a glorious truth. And if you just change your life, man, God will have something for you. And it's so wonderful. It's so rich and so powerful, you know? And God is so good. And he's so big and he's so wonderful and so grand. And now I would like to invite you to the altar space to change your life. Those who would minister would come and pray. We are so distracted. We are so distracted, and distractions cause you to miss what is meant to be seen. And even at church, with well-meaning people, with Christians, with people who are saved by the blood, you can be distracted. You can be distracted because we all are human and we all have flesh. And let me tell you something, we all like to have a good time. Let me tell you something. I believe we are going to have the best time when we get there with him. And I believe that he wants us to have abundant life now. And I believe that coming to church on Sundays, we should be having a good time. But here's the thing. I don't want to be at a party that he's not hosting. I don't want to be a part of a celebration where he's not the focus and he's not the one that we're celebrating. And when we're at that type of party, everything else is going to be taken care of. You're talking about the finest, most wonderful things happening when he's at the center. Distractions cause you to miss what's meant to be seen. We've got a few graphic designers in the church, but I was looking at some logos for different companies this past week. And do you know that graphic designers, whenever they design things, most of the time they're not trying to like fool you or hide stuff for you. In fact, they're trying to actually make it overt. They want you to see whatever it is they're trying to brand. But I came across some logos that I was like, I didn't ever see that before. Let's look at a few of them. Okay, this is the Bronx Zoo, and I put this up there because I like giraffes. And but if you look at the legs of the giraffes, you might see that there's some buildings carved in there. This is the Pittsburgh Zoo. That's a great tree, some birds, but if you look at the trunk of the tree, you might see two animals facing each other. Yeah, that's what I said. Milwaukee Brewers. There's an M and a B in that glove. I wonder if that was intentional. FedEx. Anybody use FedEx for your packages? They're going places. apparently to the right, because if you look between the E and the X, there's an arrow. Ever see that? Oh, yeah. Tostitos. Anybody eat Tostitos? I thought that that was just a little like plop of color, but that's two people eating chips and salsa in the middle of that Tostitos logo. Did you ever see that? Who never saw that before? Come on. All right. Yeah, crazy. Goodwill. Goodwill. Well, look at that smile up there. You think it's just to make you happy because you dropped off all of your stuff you didn't want at Goodwill? That's actually an enlarged G from the bottom. See that? It's just the G. Amazon. Makes me smile because it looks like they're trying to smile at me with that orange arrow. But no, that's there because Amazon has things from A to Z. A to Z. Oh, yeah. When you are distracted, you will not see the thing that was always there. Some of you come into this place every week carrying burdens, weight, problems, addictions, pain. And Jesus has been here every single time, but because of your distraction, you don't see that healing is available for you right now. If we would just take the time to remove the distractions and open our eyes and our heart to see Him, I believe God would do supernatural, extraordinary things among us in His church where He is glorified. Guys, when I come here, when I engage the church, as much as I love you, I don't want to see you. I want to see the Lord. I want to see the Lord. Is anybody with me? Do we want to see the Lord? Like, do you want to see the Lord move? Like, I'm going to tell you something. I love my wife so much. She is my bride. And it brings me great joy to do things for my wife. Can you imagine Jesus calling the church His bride? I'm talking about the Son of the God who breathes stars. Like, this is the bride of Christ. Can you imagine what Jesus Christ wants to do for His bride? Can you imagine the way He wants to love on His bride? We just have to open our eyes to see Him. And when it comes to distractions, it renders us incapable of seeing everything He wants us to see. So this morning, friends, are you distracted? I'm talking about you individually. In your coming, in your going, in your work life, in your relationships, your phone, your bank account, your trials, your tribulations. Are you distracted this morning? Because while we come in here with the purpose of not being distracted collectively, it doesn't help when we come in here distracted individually. In fact, I would say it's somewhat impossible for us to collectively not be distracted if so many of us are distracted individually. Are you distracted right now in life, 2024, April? This has been crazy year for Kevin O'Day. Almost lost my life. Crazy. And you might be just soaring up there with eagles right now. Seasons for everything. But I have every reason to be distracted right now in my life. But my Lord and Savior just says, keep looking at me. Keep looking at me. And it's so easy in the church to do. I was talking, I don't think he'll mind me sharing this, I was talking to Pastor Justin a few weeks ago, and he was telling me, man, there's like, I don't remember the number, thousands of comments on the group thread, and our men's ministry has so many more men than ever before, and it's just great. We're just thriving, all this stuff. And I had that conversation, and I walked away from it, and you know what the thought I had is, look what we've built. Look what we've built. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, really? so easy in an instant. When I became youth pastor the first time, I was in there the last service before I became youth pastor. 65 kids walked in the next day. We have 15. Where's your heart? It's not about how many people come. It's about Jesus Christ. If you want to talk about your ministry, talk about the fruit of how the Holy Spirit changed somebody's life. Not I had this many show up, this, yeah, all of these things. This grand theater, I believe, impacting so many thousands of people in the community. Why? Look what we built. No. It's so that we can stand up here and pray for Craig this morning. So that Libby could be baptized. Are you distracted? I want to see the Lord. And so this morning, we're going to do something a little unusual. Go figure, yeah? I've asked Vonna and Garner to come, and Vonda's going to minister to us through song. But what I would ask you to do this morning, we have those cushy chairs. Everybody's bottom okay? Got those cushy chairs? Some churches don't have cushy chairs. We got cushy chairs here, okay? I would like you to make that cushy chair your altar this morning. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask the Lord. We're going to go into months of this series. We're going to be talking about his church. We are going to talk about history. We're going to talk about the Lord in Ephesians 4, all these things. We're going to be talking about those things. But as we start on this journey together throughout the rest of 2024, I want to do so not distracted. I want us to see the Lord. But it starts individually. So I'm going to ask you to make your chair your altar space. And the prayer this morning, Lord, would you open the eyes of our hearts so that we actually would see you. We actually would see you. And guys, I'm telling you, if we individually can get a hold of that prayer, the Lord will begin to answer it. And you think we've been having church? We will begin to have church because he's going to be right in the middle of it. So make your chair your altar and let's worship just for a few moments together. If your distraction is worry, anxiety, pain, work, finances, you fill in the blank, whatever that distraction is, I want you to know this morning that Jesus holds all things together and his way is better. His way is always better. So as we go into this series this year, his church is about him holding it all together so that he himself can be glorified. I'd like to close this morning with a quote from C.S. Lewis from Mere Christianity. He says this: "It is easy to think that the church has a lot of different objects: education, building, missions, holding services. Just as it is easy to think that the state has a lot of different objects, military, political, economical, and whatnot. But in a way, things are much simpler than that. The state exists simply to promote and protect the ordinary happiness of human beings in life. A husband and a wife chatting over a fire, a couple of friends having a game of darts, a man reading a book in his own room or digging his own garden. That's what the state is there for. And unless they are helping to increase and prolong and protect such moments, all the laws, parliaments, armies, courts, police, economics, etc., are simply a waste of time. In the same way, the church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. And if the church is not doing that, all cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself is simply a waste of time. It's not a waste of time because Jesus' bride is the church. And the church is going to prevail because it belongs to him, not to us. You get the privilege of being a part of it. How are you treating it? So as we end today, we've got a few moments left. Just like Joshua stood before the people and said, you know, I don't know what you're going to do, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'd like to invite the head of the household, married couples, you could come, that's fine. But if you are a household represented at Springhouse, you would say, Springhouse is our church. I'm representing my family. I want to invite you to come to the altar space to make a declaration this morning that you are going to make room for him, that you're going to ask him to tear down traditions, ideologies, religion, and that you are going to surrender your heart posture for you and your family to make room for him to be seen in him alone. Would you stand with me? And if that's you, come forward this morning and let's make that declaration as we sing this song together.